We have a double cure. We have a level of cure and then another level of to wellness. And it required these two levels of curing to get the desired result. And there was a reason, and I want to look at the reason tonight. When you look at Mark, we don't have time tonight to but I'm going to reflect back on it. But when you look at Mark chapter 8, you will find that Jesus had accumulated a large multitude of people as following him. And this is not the miracle of the little boy and the two fishes and the five loaves. This is another miracle, but the multitude is doing similar. They have followed him into a wilderness place. And as they follow him, they were so entrenched with his teaching and his preaching. He said, he that hungereth and thirsteth after righteousness shall be filled. They were getting filled with righteousness, but their tummies were empty. And after 3 days, how many days can we go? 3 hours would be pretty tough. 3 days, so engrossed with what Jesus was saying that Jesus looked at them and he said to his disciples, he said, I have compassion on them because they have followed me for 3 days into the wilderness and have nothing to eat. It sparked compassion in him. And he said, what do y'all have? And they said, we have a few fishes and 7 loaves of bread. And he said, that's enough. You know, whatever you got, that's enough. You don't really need. I know you won't, but that's enough. God can, you know, he can. But that's enough. How much oil you got? See, everything you need is available already to you. You don't need God to, it's already there. The creditors were coming to get the widow woman's sons, and he said, she said, help me. He said, what have I to do with thee? What do you got in the house? I got a little oil. That's enough. The other widow woman had a little meal. That's enough. You don't need to pray these things coming down out of heaven. What you have right now is enough. And let me tell you, I got so much to tell you in so little time. There's two ways of getting more. One, he can add to. Right? He added to the church daily, so she should be added. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these other things will be added. I like addition, but I love multiplication a whole lot better. Yeah, that is what? It's a lot faster. See, when he said, I will multiply grace and peace unto you, it's like, you see, I can give you 100 numbers to add, and you'll be here quite a while, and you know, 10 plus 15 plus 15. But if I multiply, come up with an answer just like that. I got the same results as adding them. You see, it's the same results, but it's quicker. And so he said, when you get me, you get grace and peace multiplied. I'm glad he just didn't add that to me, because I might not got enough by the time he came back. But he said, I'll multiply that to you so that he can do a quick work and redeem the time that you lost trying to add things to your life. Multiply it. Okay, that's a side note. That was free. You don't have to pay for that one. So he said, I have compassion on this multitude. He God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. See, you have compassion on you and yours. Oh, yeah. You see a guy, blind guy on the side of the road, that poor guy, I feel sorry for him, and you keep on driving. This man had compassion on the multitude, and he looked at them because they had been 3 days and had not eaten. His heart was moved. He saw their hunger. He saw their desire, and he also saw their physical needs as well. And their spiritual needs was getting fed, but their physical wasn't. I'm telling you, you get your spiritual needs fed, he'll fulfill the physical. But get the spiritual first. Hallelujah. And so he said, this is a wilderness place. We got a little meat. We got a little bread. All we need to do now is sit down and bless what we've got. And he blessed it, and he broke it, and he dispensed it unto them. And when they got through, they were all filled, the Bible says, and picked up 7 baskets of leftover bread. They had 7 loaves and picked up 7 baskets. That's a pretty cool deal. That's what I call multiplication, right? If he had said, you know, somehow he's pulling it out of that night. Can you imagine if he'd got it one piece at a time to feed 5,000, probably just the men? I don't know how he did it, but it was quick. And when they got through, they had plenty left over. My Lord, he multiplied that. Then he sends the multitude away, but they're not, he never sent people away empty. That's what I like about God. He never sent people away empty. He may have given them a word, he may have given them a healing, but he never sent them away empty. And so he sends them away full of word and full in their belly. They not only saw, listen close, they not only saw the miracle, but they tasted the miracle. Hallelujah. No wonder David said, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." Because if you want to see something to taste good, if you want to know if chocolate ice cream is good, taste it. Don't just look at it, taste it, and you'll see that it is good. And if you want to know if the Lord is good, don't just stand at the distance and watch other people and say, "Well, I don't know if that's for me or not." Honey, get in there and taste it. And when you taste it, you'll say, "Hey, I want some more of this stuff. It really is good." Hallelujah. And so, as he gets in the ship, his disciples, his apostles getting with him, you know, he's got his gang with him. He gets on the ship, and the Pharisees come up to him right about the time he's getting on the ship and said, "Hey, master, we would see a sign of thee." It's like, where were you just a minute ago? "We would see it. We want to see a sign of thee." He said, "This generation keeps wanting to see something, and Lord, he said, this generation shall see no sign." In another writing, he said, "Except that of the prophet Jonas." But he told them, "You will see no sign." You keep wanting to see in something, and you keep missing it. I'm telling you, we say, "I want to see a miracle." Open your eyes. I see miracles all the time. All the time, I see miracles. This church is a miracle. Hallelujah. You're a miracle. Hallelujah. And Jesus said, I'm not going to show you any miracles. You know why I'm not going to show any miracles? You didn't get the one I just showed you. I'm not going to show you any signs. So he gets on the ship. Are y'all still with me? He gets on the ship, and his disciples are with him, and they're going to sail to the other side. And they go, "We forgot to bring bread. Lord, have mercy. I can't believe all the bread. I guess I was so full." It's like, if you want to go grocery shopping and not buy much, go after you eat. You won't buy much. But you go when you're starving, you're going to pull everything off the shelf, and you have a $300 grocery bill. And so they go, "Oh, I'm getting a little hungry. Where's that bread, John?" "What bread? You didn't bring the bread?" And so they talked among themselves about the bread. Then Jesus gets up while they're, and of course, knowing what they're doing. He says, "Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of Herod." Beware, and he's talking about bread, you know, leaven, you know. And they go, "Oh, he's saying that because he knows we forgot to bring the bread." I go through that all the time here. "Oh, he said that because he knew." Preachers go through that all the time. "Oh, if he hadn't heard that, he wouldn't have preached that. He said," baloney. Baloney. Hallelujah. And so they're thinking, well, he's only saying that because he knows that we forgot the bread. Mm-hmm. And when Jesus knew that, he said unto them, "Why reason ye this? Because you have no bread? Is that why you're asking that?" He said, "You perceive ye not. And understand ye not." Why don't you perceive and why don't you understand? Are your hearts hardened? I didn't say that because you forgot bread. I'm talking about the Pharisees and Herod and how they'll mess your mind up and make you believe something else and infect you with a little bit of that yeast like a yeast bread and make the whole thing puff up. A lot of people puff up over little old things. They just puff up. Little old thing. Puff up. Quit church. Quit everything. Puff up over a little thing. And so there are two things that needed to be cured. This is the double cure. The first thing was their perception. And the second thing was their understanding. Because they had hardness of heart. An ill heart. Jesus looked at the multitude and had compassion. They looked at the multitude and said, "Should we send them back to the city?" They look at Mary at Jesus' feet and say, should we thrust her away? She is a sinner woman. And Jesus had compassion on her. You see, but you don't perceive, and you don't understand. You need a miracle. How is it that you saw the miracle of the loaves and the bread, and you don't understand the leaven that I'm trying to teach you about Herod and the Pharisees? So he said this in Mark 8 and 18, having eyes, you see not. Having ears, hear ye not. And do ye not remember? These things that I just did, they're hindering your perception and your understanding because your heart must be hardened. I want you not to focus on necessarily what I did, but why I did it. Why I did it. And so when I break the five loaves, he asked them a question among the 5,000. He said, let's take a little test real quick. How many baskets full of fragments took ye up? And they said, 12. Oh, you can remember that. That's good. You're remembering that, but that's not what this was about. It wasn't about the 12. And when the 7 among the 4,000, how many baskets full of fragments took ye up? And they said, 7. 7. Well, you got that right. And he said unto them, how is it that you do not understand? How is it that I can do this miracle? You see me do it. You picked up the excess and you do not understand what I am trying to show you. That you see, they looked at these people as an inanimate object. No souls, no care, you're just people. And he looked at them as souls, as a friend, as someone who loves me enough to follow me. And he was moved by compassion. They weren't moved at all. You need to be cured. And God wants to give us this double cure, that we can understand and perceive what we see God doing in our lives. It is possible to see God working in your life and not know why He's working in your life. But God wants to open up our eyes to not just see men as men, but to see them as souls. I'm telling you, Brother Douglas gets me so enthused because he's passing out these CDs. He's not seeing people as men or as women. He's seeing them as souls. He sees the same people other people see, but he perceives and understands it differently. Are you still with me? And God wants to open up our eyes to see and understand what he is trying to do in your life and others' lives. Verse 26. And he sent him away to his house. I skipped one little section here. Verse 19. When I break the 5,000, he said, we have 12 baskets left, and we had 7 fragments of the bread left. But I want you to understand that when the Lord does something, he doesn't do it halfway. There's always something left over to give somebody else. There's always a testimony left over to say, this is what the Lord did for me, and not consume it all for yourself. Verse 26, 8 and 26. And he sent them away to his house, saying, neither go into the town nor tell it to any man in the town. Now, Jesus had just faced this man that he goes into Bethsaida and they bring to him this man that is blind, been blind all of his life. He can't see anything. They bring him to Jesus. Now, here's where he explains about the perception and the understanding and the double cure. Because, see, they didn't understand the loaves and the fishes and the feeding of them. He was full of compassion. They were full of themselves. And so a blind man comes seeking that Jesus would touch him. And they bring him to Jesus, and Jesus spit on him. That one place he spit in the mud, and he spit on him. You want me to pray for you, anybody here tonight? Would you like for me to try that with you. But you see, when you're blind, you don't care. When you're really, 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 really sick, you don't care. Some people are not really sick enough. They care too much. Got to look nice. Got to be, I don't want to get, out of order or anything. Let me tell you, blind Bartimaeus got out of order. They said, you better shut up. You're going to disturb the master. He said, it's not you that's blind. It's me. Y'all shut up. And he cried out the more. The more. And if you want something from God, you got to get out of that comfort zone you stay in. You want to stay comfortable? He don't work that way. You got to get, I'm sorry, a little radical sometimes, a little bit. You can't not worry what other people think. If you need your healing, you need your restoration. I wouldn't let the sermon finish. I wouldn't let the song finish. I'd go get what I need. And so they bring him. He spits on his eye, and he says, what do you see? Now, I don't know if it was because he had spit in his eye, but he said, I see men as trees walking. I see them as inanimate, soulless people. Got that? What I see is just like a tree, a piece of wood. It's got life, but has no soul. Just like the disciples had just seen the multitude. And he said, you need the double cure. Because you have eyes and you can't see. You have ears, but you can't hear. How is it that you don't understand? So he said, you need the double cure. And he prayed for him again. And he said, now what do you see? And the Bible says, I see men clearly. Whew. I see them as souls. I see them as people that used to be like me. I see them as they're blind like I used to be blind. I got compassion on them because I too once was blind. I too once was lost. And now I see them as souls. I see, oh God, let's pray for them like you prayed for me. That's what he was teaching the disciples. And they missed it. They needed the double cure. When he could see clearly, his perception opened up. His understanding opened up. And now I see clearly what you're doing in my life and in their lives. So Jesus says, well, don't go into town and tell them what I did. Let them stay blind. Boy, he was tough on some cities, Bethsaida and Tyre and Sidon and all of those, because he did mighty works there and they wouldn't believe. He said, just leave them blind. Just leave them. I wonder how many people's been around the gospel message, but they've never received the gospel message. They've come to church. They've heard the word. They've been around kin folks. And he says, just leave them blind. Leave them that way. They need the double cure. And so he said, you go home. Don't go into town. Don't tell anybody what we did. And he said, y'all, we're going to Caesarea Philippi. I'm not through, so listen close. He said, let's go to Caesarea Philippi. So as on their way to Caesarea Philippi, he says, who do other people say that I am? How do they see me? He's not through with that sermon yet. It's all in the same chapter. He's not through with that sermon yet. How do men see me? Well, some say that there's always some somesayers. Some say that emboldened guy's a good guy, but some of them say, I wouldn't trust him. I'm telling you, don't hand him your wallet. You won't get it back with money in it. You give him your watch, he'll take the gold off of it and give it back to you. You don't know what some say about you. That's the problem. So you don't know what some say. Jesus was polling them. What do some say? Y'all are hear what some of them say about me. Lord, I got a lot of somesayers. And thumb suckers too. That's what they just need a bottle. They need a pacifier or something. Some say, who do men say that I am? Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? How do they see me? Do they perceive me? Do they understand me? Or do they need the double cure? And they say, well, some say you're Elias. Some say you're Jeremiah. Some say you're just one of the other good old prophets. Out of the Old Testament, just in, just a later version. He said, what do you see? Do you see me as a tree walking around? What do you see me as? And Peter said, I see clearly. I see you as the Son of God. I see you as the one that can save the world. You're both the Son of Man and the Son of God. I see you clearly. And he had that double cure in there that he understood who Christ was. He said, so to you that see clearly do I give the kingdom to. He said, I don't want the blind leading the blind because they all wind up in the ditch. But I'm going to give it to those that have understanding and those that have perception. So you, Peter, understand who I am. I give to you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatsoever you loose in heaven will be loosed in earth. You got the keys because you see me clearly. Hallelujah. And we know Peter preached a very clear message. He cleared his throat. The same little guy that said, I don't know him, to the little damsel, said to all those big wigs there for the big meeting of the Feast of the Passover. He said, men and brethren, let me freely speak. That same Jesus whom you crucified, I see it clearly. He's both Lord and God. I mean, he saw it clearly. And when they got through, they were pricked in their hearts and said, how are we going to see it like you see it? I'm going to see it like you see it. I see it like you see it. And he convinced them because he had the double cure. They saw him crucified. They saw him. They knew it was the Lord of glory, but they didn't have the perception and the understanding. And Peter opened it up so they could see clearly. Men and brethren, what should we do? My job and my goal tonight is to prepare people to see clearly, open up their understanding and their perception that they might see clearly. You and I need to understand. I got 5 or 10 more minutes. We need to understand that, you see, what we struggle with, every one of us, not just me, everybody struggles with control. You want to be in control. Men more than women. It's a man thing. You want to be in control. But we have to understand, I'm going to reflect back on my message Tuesday, we have something called a mediator. He's in control. If you go to a mediation and you're going to tell that mediator something, he's going to say, sir, he's going to find you somebody else. You can go to court if you want to, but I am here to help you. Do you understand that? I am here to help you. And sometimes we take what God is doing in our own hands so we can control it and make it come out like we think it ought to come out. You need to leave it in the hands of the mediator. But we struggle with this control. You look at the prodigal son, okay? His issue wasn't really that he wanted his inheritance. He wanted to control his inheritance. He said, give me what is mine so I can control it. And the father had enough sense to go, okay. Rather than fighting with him, he knew he would eventually lose control. Here you go, take it. And he walks out of there with control. He's with harlots and with living it up and flaunting it all, you know. And finally, he wakes up and guess what he is? A servant. Got a little hog bucket here, and he's going to go feed the pig. Someone else is controlling him. See, he wanted control, but he lost control along the way, and now he's got somebody else is controlling him. And he sits down, the Bible says, and he came to himself and realizes that I should have stayed under daddy's control. This is a whole new message on the prodigal son. I should have stayed under daddy's control. I'm going to go back to my daddy's house and tell him I'll be a servant. I'll let you be the master.